Welcome back to the Bronx Beat. This is the fourth episode. Thank you all so far for tuning in. My name is Ryan Garcia, and I'm joined, as always, by Gary Phillips of the New York Daily News, the beat writer covering the Yankees. And we also have a guest with Chris Kirschner of The Athletic, fellow beat writer covering the Yankees. We've got a good bit to talk about now that they're actually in Tampa. Pitchers and catchers have reported. We've got updates on some injury stuff. Cam Schlittler dealing with back inflammation. We'll get into that. And we'll also get into some of the early notes so far from pitchers and catchers reporting, Yankee camp opening up, all of that and more right here on Fireside Yankees. Make sure you like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, leave a 5-star rating and download as well. We'd really appreciate the support. And without further ado, let's just jump straight into this thing. Let's start by introducing our guest, Chris. Chris, how you doing, man?
Doing well. I'm honored to be back on. I know it was a few weeks ago I was on with you only, and now, you know, Gary has a podcast and is encroaching on my space of being the only beat writer having a Yankees podcast. So you guys should feel honored that I'm on here with you guys.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. I think you might have owed me a couple more, right? From some filling in that I've done on your pod with Randy, but that's obviously great. You guys do a great job. We're happy to be in the space and kind of give Yankee fans something to listen to every day of the week between the two of our pods now.
And if you guys do want to check out Chris Kirschner's podcast, he does it with Randy Wilkins. It's Views from 314 Feet. You can find it on Patreon, and I believe you have to subscribe to the Patreon, and I believe it's also something you can get on Spotify as well, if I'm not mistaken, Chris.
Yeah, if you subscribe through the Patreon, you can get it anywhere. Spotify, Apple, think other places, but that is above my pay grade.
Well, there'll be a link to the Patreon in the description so people can check that out. It is content that I listen to on my way to school, and I do enjoy it. So I think that we can all agree that it is a very good place to get Yankee content and good Yankee conversations and discourse there. But now that we're actually going to be able to talk about Yankees camp opening up, pitchers and catchers reporting, what's the first day been like, or the first couple of days been like on the beat? Gary, we'll start with you. How's everything been so far?
Yeah, so today was the first day of actual workouts and baseball activities. Saw lots of guys playing catch, got our grainy videos of guys throwing bullpens from behind the fence. It was nice and hot down here, which was also nice. Got a little bit of sun, a little bit of color today. So it's been good. I would say a pretty straightforward first 2 days. You know, yesterday pitchers and catchers were just reporting, so guys were still taking physicals. Boone had his opening remarks. We got a couple interviews with Jazz Chisholm Jr. and Paul Goldschmidt in, you know, scrum type settings. So nothing too out of the ordinary. You know, both of those guys talked about this perception that the team is running it back. They endorsed that idea, which I don't think is too surprising coming from a player's perspective. And then today we obviously had the injury news with Cam Schlittler. He's dealing with some inflammation in his back and his left lat.
You know, I wrote yesterday after Aaron Boone's first press conference of spring training that the Yankees received the best possible news, which was no injuries, but that didn't even last 24 hours. So there you go. Welcome to spring training, everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into a lot of what this ramp-up period oftentimes looks like. It's interesting that spring training has this reputation as a time for optimism and new beginnings, but oftentimes it's really just the stretch in which you really hope that you're not seeing tweets about your players this time of year. It's never good. It's either best shape of your life, which is usually overblown. You cannot add 15 pounds of muscle in the span of 4 months. It's not physically possible. Other stuff like, oh yeah, this guy's throwing 98 now, 99 now. Like it's usually always bad or just exaggerations of the truth. But you know, on the beat writer side of things, what is this experience and this time like now that pitchers and catchers are reporting, seeing a lot of familiar faces from last year's team? Chris, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think spring training is a really great time, especially if you're on the beat, to continue building relationships that you may have had previously, introducing yourself to some of the new faces. Obviously, as you said, there aren't many new faces to introduce yourself to, but spring training is really great too, because no one is stressed about winning or losing. Even when the games begin, obviously we're still several days out from that beginning, but like the Yankees don't care if they win or lose a spring training game, the most important part of spring training is making sure that everyone who is participating that day ends up being healthy. So before we get to games, I think it's a really good time to also get interviews done. And that is why Gary and I are down here, to try and get interviews and try and get news, feature story ideas, and so on and so forth. I usually spend the first few days trying to get my introductions done, seeing guys who I haven't seen, obviously, for the past few months, asking about their off seasons and so on and so forth. But that's how I've spent the first 2 days down here. Obviously, as the days continue, more news will pop up. We'll be able to get all the news that we're trying to get.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mindset. You know, the first day, two, maybe three, depending on who you've talked to, who you've seen, I always try to say hello, whether it's introducing myself to somebody for the first time or catching up with a player from last year's roster, or it doesn't just have to be players either, you know, coaches, front office executives, you know, people of that nature. You try to ask them about their off seasons. Did they go on any vacations? Maybe some guys had a kid or got married, whatever it may be. You know, you try to say hello and just check in. And, you know, I always preface it as, you know, like, hey, just wanted to say hey before I start bugging you with questions over the next couple of weeks. And guys are usually, you know, receptive to that. Sometimes those conversations will get you a few notes or nuggets that become useful later on. So that's kind of been the gist of it the last 2 days. There have been a couple press conferences with Boone. Max Fried spoke today. Like I said, scrums with a couple other players. But for the most part, it's easing into things.
Yeah, and now that you guys have done this for a few years, I imagine, you know, there's some familiarity with the area. I know, Gary, you've been telling me about how you've gotten pretty comfortable knowing some spots in Tampa and where to go, where to get, whether it's coffee, breakfast, whatever it may be. Chris, I do have to push back on the idea these games don't matter. I personally will be hanging my Grapefruit League banner if the Yankees win it this year, so it will be right on my door. So I do want to push back a little bit on that. But on the note of you guys doing this for multiple years now, do you guys have any personal favorite stories doing this and being on the beat, not even just Yankees related or adjacent?
Oh man, Gary, you want to start? He's putting me on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, well, we get a lot of time to hang out when we're not at work in spring training. You know, the days start early, which means they end a little bit on the earlier side. So we do a lot of dinners. We play basketball. I know Chris wants to get on the pickleball court this spring as well. We've got a karaoke spot where we'll end up spending a bunch of nights. And we got Burns tomorrow. We got a reservation there at Burns Steakhouse. And you know, another great thing about spring is every year we kind of do a dinner with the coaching staff as well. So that's always a fun thing between the staff and Aaron Boone. The beat writers, we alternate who pays, which group pays every year. So they got us pretty good last year. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that bill was tough. And there's two athletic writers, so it was double the cost. There are definitely some people inside the athletic that were like, I'm not going to curse on this one because we're not behind a paywall. They curse. That is one reason why you can subscribe to Views from 314 Feet. We can curse on there.
You can curse here too. No one.
Yeah,
no
you
one
should
gives
be
a
able
sh-
to rip. I don't. There's yeah. no. We
no
got
one
no
gives a shit.
but yeah, I would echo what Gary says. Obviously, we spend a lot of time around each other over the course of 8 months, and baseball is one of those sports where you play it every single day. So, a lot of the times we see the people on the beat more often than our own friends and family. So it is a good time. We all get along, as Gary has said on here before. I think for me, one of the best moments so far is just, you know, covering the World Series in 2024. I mean, that was really cool to be a part of. Obviously I grew up watching this team. I'm from the Bronx originally, so just being that close to the action. I mean, I kind of, to people who don't really understand like what it is that I do, I basically tell them that like I get paid to be like a VIP where I can go into the clubhouse. I get paid to watch these games, eat free food, and travel the country documenting what's going on with the Yankees. I mean, it's hard to really have any sort of complaints when that is my job, and people work much tougher jobs, more boring jobs, like for certain. So, I mean, it's hard to complain when you have this kind of job.
Ben Rice was asking me today when I checked in with him, like, are you ready to go? Are you ready to roll? And I was just like, it's better than working a real job. And I'm sure the players feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. And I also imagine like the amount of, because of the fact this team is pretty much always in the postseason mix, there is always some level of urgency or drama to most of their games. Like, it's not like they're playing games in late August where it's like the team's 10 games under 500. This is, they might as well lose for draft position. I don't know. And that's not even really a thing in baseball with the lottery and how that works. But that's a whole other conversation. It is really this time of year, I think, is awesome for those kinds of things. Again, I think the magic of spring training has less to do with the optimism around the team, because usually that dims throughout spring training as guys get hurt, and more so about just baseball's back. Like, it's baseball time. It's not football time. Technically, it's still basketball time, but no, it's not basketball time. It's football time. Jeez, I messed that up, really. It's baseball time. Now, I did see a rumor on the basketball point of things that Gary is the best basketball player on the beat. Is that something you guys can both confirm here?
That is accurate. Gary is very quick. I'm no longer quick. So if we're playing full court, I'm only running 3-point line to 3-point line, and I'm just a spot up shooter. I'm not going into the paint. So that's my basketball scouting report.
Yeah, I'm a decent shooter. I'm fast. I'll play above my size when it comes to getting rebounds and playing some defense. I don't want to act like I'm anything special here or anything like that. You know, I was playing yesterday at our spot in Tampa, made sure I got there already, and was definitely overmatched against some bigger guys. But I could shoot, and I can outrun and outwork anybody on the court.
I also want to make note that when Max Goodman was on the beat, Max is 6'6", 6'7". We are both better than Max, even though he is that tall.
What a waste of height.
The height, his vertical is like 2 inches. It's unbelievable. Just like, you would think that being that height, not many people are that tall, that you'd be able to dominate on the basketball court. He is not one of those guys.
I remember when we played last year, I was trying to do pick and rolls with him, and he wouldn't go into the paint. Unbelievable.
Soft. That's why he's covering the Mets.
That's right.
Why do you think he's covering the Mets? He's soft.
I do want to give a shout out to your partner, Brendan Cuddy, because, you know, he played some serious defense when we balled up last year. I would have liked to have gotten him out on the court more often. I think he could handle that. But when he was out there, he was playing good defense.
Well, you would hope. I mean, he's like 230 pounds of muscle, so he can definitely bang down, though.
I'm one of like the worst basketball players I know. I can't shoot. I have really small hands, so I can't even I can't shoot and guide the ball at all. So I'm terrible at basketball. I've never been shy about that.
You know what they say about small hands?
Yeah, they say that, you know, you're smarter. That's what they say. A bigger brain.
Yeah, small gloves, yeah. Small batting gloves.
Yeah, I also couldn't throw like a 4-seam fastball. It's like 13. It was awful, man. It was really bad, and I. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. I really hated pitching for that one reason, because I couldn't grip anything. I sucked. I was really bad at baseball after middle school, really.
Well, that's why you host the podcast now.
Yes, that is exactly why.
I'm sure we could all swap war stories or horror stories, however we want to put them, but I do think listeners want to hear about the real athletes, which
that's
is not
a good
the,
point.
Not the three of us.
Well, I will say, and I will, my final input on this is that if I were 6'5", I would be in the big leagues. I guarantee you that. I would be at drive line. I know exactly what I would do. I'd be throwing 98. You guys would be covering me. You'd be talking about like, yo, man, what's the secret sauce? Well, you know, I'm just that good, man. I'm just that good. Like, I'm serious. I would be a big leaguer if I was 6'5". I fully believe that.
You take advantage of the height, unlike Max.
Correct. Exactly. But one guy who is tall, does throw hard, and unfortunately is going through some stuff right now is Cam Schlittler. He's dealing with back inflammation. What did you guys get from his immediate media availability? And so was Aaron Boone, who I think was the one who first broke that information. Gary, we'll start with you. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, both use the word minor to describe the injury or the inflammation, whatever word you want to use there. Cam also mentioned that his left lat has been part of this ongoing issue, which dates back a couple weeks now. He also called it insignificant. He said he has zero concern. He spoke multiple times about being ready for the start of the season and opening day and that week in San Francisco. So right now, doesn't look like anything major. You can recall, I'm sure, past instances where the Yankees have said an injury was not major or anything to worry about, and then it became something else. I think even last year, Clark Schmidt had the back injury that was barking a little bit early on in spring training, and while it wasn't significant, it delayed him enough to the point where he wasn't ready for the start of the season. So TBD, time will tell on that kind of thing, and just, you know, how it impacts him down the road. Right now, it doesn't seem like anything too serious.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll add to this is that when it comes to pitcher injuries, whether they're minor or, you know, at least intermediate, we won't really know how it is until he is on the mound and is throwing mid-90s. You know, if he's throwing flat ground right now, there's really not much to gain from, like, knowledge-wise when it comes to that stuff. So I would just put this in the TBD bucket, and we'll see how it is the next time he throws off the mound. He did throw on the side field today, flat ground, but again, if it's minor now, it's not really going to be inflamed anymore just throwing, you know, 30% on flat ground. We'll see how it is when he is on the mound, which he said that his goal is to get on the mound by early to mid next week.
And when it comes to these kinds of injuries as well, as Gary noted with Clark Schmidt, it was minor, and then he did end up missing some time to start the year. Pitchers get hurt more often than position players, and when they're hurt, it's usually for a longer period of time, because if they have to shut down throwing at any point in time, they're going to have to ramp up for as long as they're shut down. Usually that's the rule of thumb. And this is a pretty significant window for injuries. The ramp-up period is, it's been proven to be the most injury-prone period for pitchers, and with the way that the Yankee rotation set up right now, they are already nursing injuries from last year. What level of concern should this bring for the Yankees, knowing that there could be more injuries in the future? Chris, we'll start with you here.
Well, with Cam specifically, again, I just think it's something that we have to wait and see. I mean, Schlittler told us a few hours ago that he has zero concern, so I mean, you have to trust what the player is saying right now. But the only thing about that is players tend to downplay injuries. It happens all the time. A player could have a broken foot and the player would be like, yeah, I'm good to go. I'll be back, you know, in a couple days. So we really have no idea just what, like, the extent is, because Cam is obviously, as we've seen, since he debuted last season, he is very, very confident, and I don't think that confidence is going down anytime soon. So I think it's just wait and see. I mean, if there is an injury to Cam, obviously the Yankees are going to be without Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, and Clark Schmidt to begin the season. If Cam does have to miss time, then we're talking about, you know, possibly Paul Blackburn being in the opening day rotation, which I don't think the Yankees and their fans want to happen.
Yeah, I think this is, if nothing else, a reminder that the Yankees rotation, while talented and in possession of more than five arms total, you know, across the roster and the injured list, like, it is in a bit of a precarious situation. If they suffer another injury in spring training or earlier in the season, then you're talking about somebody like Blackburn or Ryan Yarbrough being in the rotation. Maybe they turn to somebody like top pitching prospect Elmer Rodriguez, but I know they would rather him get some more seasoning at AAA. Like it is interesting because, you know, Chris, I know you wrote it all offseason. I think I did as well, that the Yankees would benefit from the addition of a frontline starter. They didn't get that guy. And that's with, like you said, Rodon, Cole, Schmidt, all out, Fried, Schlittler, Will Warren. They're all coming off of career high workloads as well. So you got to figure at some point something is going to pop up with one of those guys and something beyond, you know, what we heard today with Cam.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Yankees rotation as a whole, and one of the reasons why I thought all offseason that they should be trying to add a starter, even with the depth that they have, is because with us being in spring training, someone is almost guaranteed to get hurt. It happens. It happens every year, basically. I think it's like the past 4 years running now for the Yankees, one of their projected top five starters has gotten hurt in spring training. So you want to account for that. Obviously, they brought in Weathers, but Weathers is someone who has a litany of his own injuries. So I have no idea if he's going to be able to get through healthy. So that's why I thought it made sense for the Yankees to pursue a starting pitcher. And, you know, obviously they did. They had interest in Freddy Peralta. They had interest in Edward Cabrera, among others. So obviously those guys ended up going elsewhere, and the Yankees ended up getting Weathers, who they are high on. But, he is more of a project type. If it works, he's going to be, I think, a really good addition for the Yankees. But he's in the, you know, we have to wait and see to make sure that this guy can reach his full potential, which he hasn't yet. We'll see how it works out for them.
And on the note of some depth guys, Blackburn had, I believe, like spinal fluid removed at the start of 2025 and missed the beginning of last year. And Ryan Yarbrough spent an extended amount of time on the injured list as well. So it's not like their depth starters have clean bills of health. And in Elmer's case, not only do they probably not want to go to him, but career high in innings pitched last year, had some injury issues with the Red Sox organization. So these are pretty, like, I understand with any starting pitcher, there's going to be just a level of pitch of injury concern, but there does feel like an elevated level of injury concern with this rotation right now. Is there anything when it comes to, and I don't know how to word this because I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to sway in either direction here, but when it comes to the way that Cam Schlittler and Aaron Boone had discussed this injury, do you feel like there is a comparison to be made between any other times that they referred to player injuries that are minor and either A, understated it, or like were right on the head with it? I don't know if I'm framing this question correctly, but from your guys' experience dealing with asking those questions about injury, do you get the sense that maybe there's something more to it, or is it they seem pretty upfront about this?
Not necessarily that there's something more to it, just that sometimes it can snowball into something else. You know, like I said, with Schmidt last year, that's a perfect example. Like, the Yankees didn't think it was serious. It really wasn't, but it was enough to delay him. And I think he might have had some other soreness later on in the spring last year, if I'm remembering correctly. Right. So, you know, one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to a delay, leads to a setback. Like, these things can snowball without necessarily being considered major injuries. As far as the upfrontness of it all, I will say that Boone volunteered the information on Schlittler today. You know, he led off his press conference with that as essentially an opening statement. He had said yesterday in his first press conference of spring training that, as far as he knew, everybody reported to camp healthy, but guys were also still taking physicals at that point, so
it would be nice if the Yankees would be upfront about injuries all the time, but that is asking for a lot when it comes to the Yankees and how they report injuries to the media. Even during the season, I guess it is a competitive advantage if a bullpen arm is not available or hasn't pitched for a few days. I get it, but still, it would make everybody's lives easier if they were more upfront about injuries. I mean, I think about Jose Trevino a few years ago. He apparently broke his wrist in spring. We were in Colorado. Forget who asked now.
It was me.
You asked about Trevino's wrist. Boone, I think, said it like it was like basically no big deal. And then a few days later, he's out for the year.
Yeah, he was. He went from just being banged up like a catcher normally is to, he needs surgery.
I think the one that will always stick out to me is the Judge creative cuts thing. I feel like that was just because at least with the one thing I will give is that I understand not wanting to speak on the severity of an injury if you're not right there with the MRI in your hand or whatever it may be. Like, I can get that. The creative cuts one felt like, I mean, everyone in baseball knows he can't throw the baseball. Like, everyone in baseball knew at that point in time he could not throw the baseball, that being Aaron Judge, and that. I don't know. I felt that one was probably the most odd, but that's just my opinion. Is there any final thoughts you guys have on the Schlitter stuff before we move on there?
No, I don't think so.
I think we covered it. The creative cuts one was funny, though, because Boone was like bewildered that we didn't see them working on creative cuts during pregame warmups, which didn't happen.
Yeah, we talked about this situation already on the podcast, but they weren't creative. They just, he couldn't throw the ball that far. And you know, you talk about wanting to protect competitive advantages and things like that in certain situations. That was not one of them. Teams have advanced scouting before they play an opponent. Everybody knew that he couldn't throw. And there was a perfectly reasonable explanation, which was they wanted Judge's agility over Stanton, and they wanted to protect Stanton from getting an injury himself by playing the outfield. Perfectly reasonable explanation, but they spent 2 or 3 days pretending that, you know, nothing happened, or it happened by design, or whatever you want to call it. It was very silly.
I do think it's kind of funny to imagine like a team, or let's say the Blue Jays, and they're like, wait guys, they said creative cuts, do not run, red light, put it back on, or at least a yellow light, do not run on Judge. They're doing creative cuts, be on the lookout for that. Like, I think that is kind of funny to think about. Like, as a, I'm sure that's not, I'm sure they were just trying to creatively word it, but it is kind of like, all right, man, like, just say that the elbow's limited. There has been other activity going on in spring training, not other injury things to report on necessarily, but guys have started throwing live bullpens. Luis Heel was on the mound today, I believe, and he was throwing to a group that consisted of Judge, Rosario, Caballero, right, if I'm not mistaken. Is there any early notes on that, on other things you guys saw as you were going around the complex from the first couple of days in Tampa? Chris, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was definitely encouraging that Heel's fastball was clocked at 95. It is a nice thing that the Yankees did this year by putting up actual data on the scoreboards. They hadn't done that in years past. I don't know if it was because like they're working on ABS stuff or whatever it might be, but so that's why we were able to see like how fast the guys were throwing, and Heel's fastball, I think the fastest one he had was 95.6. I mean, for it being not even mid-February yet and hitting 95, I think is a very good sign for Heel, because if we all remember last year, especially later in the season, Heel was throwing low 90s fastballs, and that was mainly because he was taking some velocity off of his fastballs to help his command, which is not the most ideal situation, and you want Heel to be throwing mid to high 90s with command. Obviously, that's been the biggest negative for Heel, even dating back the years prior to him winning the Rookie of the Year in 2024. So I think it's a good sign. We'll see if it ends up working out. I think with Heel in particular, I do think it is an important year for Heel to reestablish himself. Obviously, last year was not good, probably because of the lat injury that he had, and he missed a lot of time. And when he came back, he just didn't look right. So hopefully for the Yankees' sake, Heel is better. Outside of that, like there isn't really much happening yet. Like the full team isn't reporting to camp until – Sunday, I believe, and their first full team workout will be Monday. So there really isn't much to report. Max Fried threw a bullpen today, and as Gary mentioned before, he talked with the media, but there really wasn't anything insightful when it came to Fried's press conference.
Yeah, he talked a little bit about, you know, his ALDS start motivating him this year and throughout the offseason and just kind of things of that nature. Nothing crazy. Cade Winquest, the Rule 5 draft pick, who's competing for a bullpen spot. He's another guy who threw a bullpen session today. He told me that he's been working on a sinker and happy with that pitch's development. So that's an addition to his arsenal that I knew he was previously talking to Matt Blake about and considering. So that's something to keep an eye on. He is somebody to keep an eye on. Boone said today that he's going to get a real opportunity to showcase himself this spring. So are a lot of guys who are relievers in camp right now. But just one guy to keep an eye on. Cam also said, after talking about his injury, that he's no longer really focused on adding a changeup or a splitter. That was something he said he wanted to do over the offseason. But instead, he and the Yankees felt it was better to focus on kind of revamping the orientation of his fastball and his curveball. So don't be on the lookout for any new pitches from Schlittler just yet.
This is the second spring training straight where he's pump faked the changeup slash splitter. I remember last spring training, he was like, I want to try and throw a splitter. And then he didn't throw a single one in spring training. And then it came out later in an article, I think done by, I think it was done by Greg Johnson, who covers the Somerset Patriots. And it was talking about how he ended up just going with a cutter instead in late April. He couldn't really find the splitter. So I do find that part fascinating, that it's two straight off seasons of trying and not really finding comfort, I guess, with that pitch just yet.
Yeah, he said with the splitter that he had trouble with the wrist pronation. And then as far as the changeup goes, or like going back to the splitter, I don't know that it ever got to the point where he was really like full throttle trying to incorporate those pitches. It sounded like he had, you know, him and Matt Blake were more focused on just revamping and improving what he's got.
And I also do want to ask a little bit on some of this stuff with Gerrit Cole, because I know that Aaron Boone mentioned on day one some mostly positive updates and also hinted at the idea that he could get into some game action in the Grapefruit League. Wasn't a guarantee, wasn't a definite statement, didn't, you know, note it as probable either. Did it take you guys at all by surprise that he mentioned that?
Maybe a little bit. You know, they've been saying that Cole might be an option late May, early June. If he's getting into game action by the end of spring training, maybe that timeline could be accelerated just a little bit. I would just caution the fans who are overly excited by that news that the Yankees are not going to be rushing Gerrit back just to get him back in the rotation. They're going to make sure that everything is okay with him. He's way too important for their hopes in October that they're not going to take any sort of risk in March just so that, you know, he can be back on the mound. I know Gerrit, and covering him for the past 4 years now, I'm sure he is very anxious to get back into game action. So the Yankees organization's probably going to have to do some reining in when it comes to him. But knowing Gerrit and knowing how cerebral he is, he understands that, you know, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. The Yankees are planning on playing in October. And if Gerrit can be fully healthy by October, that's really what matters most for him and the organization.
Yeah, I think even after the surgery last year, he talked about how, you know, he's going to want to try to clear every deadline and timetable early, but also that he was going to take a practical approach to this and, you know, the whole process. And like Chris said, you know, there's no reason or benefit to really rush in. And just for comparison's sake with the timeline, you know, Carlos Rodon is ahead of him in his own throwing program. His expectation is to get into some spring training games and hopefully be back by the end of April, early May. So Yeah, he's just further ahead than Garrett is at this point. And if Cole does get into any spring games, I'm thinking, you know, maybe one or two on a very limited basis, very limited pitch count, that kind of thing. But even that's not a sure thing.
The one interesting note is how quick the turnaround is from spring training to the start of the regular season and the start of the AAA season. I believe they play their final exhibition game the day before opening day in San Francisco against the Cubs. And then AAA opening day is March 31st. So there's a 6-day gap between MLB and AAA opening day. So for Rodon, potentially for Cole, I guess I should also put potential for Rodon as well. Things could happen between now and then. The layoff between spring training ending and being able to get into rehab games isn't too long. It's about a week. So I wonder if maybe that's part of their calculus as well.
Keep in mind, there's also extended spring training as well. Yes. So guys can get in games down here. If they're doing a rehab assignment like Cole and Rodon will be, you know, you start down here, graduate up the minor leagues, you know, depending on what those team schedules look like, that kind of thing. So there's certainly ways for the Yankees to keep the schedule flowing for those guys.
And I just want to ask one final question, because I think throughout the course of spring training, we've gotten a lot of these questions, and I personally have thought about this probably more than anything, which is, who's the guy, like, who is the guy that you guys think the Yankees are keeping the closest tabs on the pitching, or guys that they're keeping close tabs on in the bullpen? Because I view that as their most unstable, volatile, like, things could go really wrong with this group unit. What's that list looking for you? What's that list look like, do you guys think, for the Yankee organization at this point in time?
I mean, I think for the Yankees, there's obviously a lot riding on David Bednar in the bullpen and being that stabilizing force in the back end. You know, I think out of everybody in the bullpen, he's probably the surest thing back there. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, honestly. You know, he was optioned to AAA just last year. It's not like this guy is Mariano Rivera. So we'll see if it works out for the Yankees. I think he's a really good closer, but, you know, we'll see how it looks for a full season in New York. You know, I think they've been talking a lot about Camilo Duvall this offseason. If Duvall can be a really trusted eighth inning option, that goes a long way to making sure that the bullpen is in the right order. I think Duvall clearly has the talent. He has the stuff. The command is obviously the biggest question mark when it comes to him. And this is something that he's been battling for the entirety of his career, minor leagues and with the Giants. So if he can improve his command even slightly, or to make it below average and not well below average, that would also go a long way for Duvall. They've also been talking a lot about Brent Hedrick this offseason. You know, some fans have been wanting like a power lefty arm in the bullpen. I think he could be that guy. I thought he was pretty impressive in the limited amount of time that he got in the Bronx last year. I really like his fastball, and perhaps now that he has like a full year of being a bullpen arm, maybe that can be a benefit to him. But those are obviously the three guys that they have a lot of trust and belief in moving forward into this season.
I would throw Jake Bird in there as well. Yep. Boone mentioned him yesterday. I think he was asked about him, but he basically said, you know, we think Bird is better than the guy we got last year, and that he was a bit overworked and fatigued coming from Colorado. The Yankees love his stuff. They love the shape of his pitches. So I imagine he is going to factor into that pen this season.
Yeah, and I think Gary, you made this point in a previous podcast we recorded, where there are a lot of lottery tickets with traits to like. There's just not a lot of proven commodities there. And, you know, there's, you can see why they believe in these guys, but there's also that, again, that undertone of, or underscore of, yeah, this group, there's not a lot of track record there. I'm going to be keeping my eyes on a lot of reliever candidates to just make sure there's at least enough guys, enough healthy bodies, and see what these guys have tweaked over the winter. Like Paul Blackburn, I'm curious to see just like what they see. I'm just curious. I'm not saying he's going to be a star or anything, but I'm just curious. I think this is like a very informational time for pitchers, specifically hitters. There's not as much I can draw from or that I try to draw from this time of year. Any final notes you guys have on the first couple of days here in Tampa?
Not really. The only other thing I would say is baseball activities and live batting practices and bullpen sessions, you know, start picking up and there's more and more each day. I mentioned this a couple pods ago, I think, but like one thing I always look for is who's watching these sessions. You know, are multiple people from the front office and player development coming out there and paying attention to a particular guy multiple times, like things like that. You know, that's, you know, that doesn't guarantee anything, but it has provided hints in the past over like who's really in consideration versus who's a body. So that's something I'm always looking for.
Yeah, I don't really have anything over the past couple of days. Like I said earlier, it's been light the past couple of days, so not really much to glean. Obviously, things are going to pick up at once the full team arrives in the next few days.
Yeah, just a reminder, full position player reports are full position players. The full roster is not required to report just yet, so those guys are not required to be in camp at this moment, although there has been a lot of guys in camp, whether it's for the World Baseball Classic or just down there early in Tampa already. Before we wrap things up, Chris, I want to give you the opportunity to shout out both the podcast and your work at The Athletic.
Yeah, as Ryan said, I cover the team for The Athletic. It is a paywalled site that is owned by the New York Times. Cover the team with Brendan Cuddy. Make sure you check out our work throughout the spring. We'll be down here basically for almost the entirety of spring training. I also host the Views from 314 Feet podcast with Randy Wilkins, the director of the Captain Derek Jeter's ESPN documentary. So check us out there.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on and spending the time. Gary, as always, you know, it's awesome doing these episodes with you. Gary, is there any stories that we should be on the lookout for? Anything that you've dropped over the last 24 hours you want to shout out?
Nothing crazy over the last 24 hours or so. Nothing since getting down here to camp. Got a couple things in the works that I'm looking forward to getting up in the next, you know, whether it's days, weeks, you know, so sometime this spring, I'll certainly start shifting focus to features as we get more and more settled here in spring training. But other than that, just again, Chris, thank you for coming on. Super glad that you're the first guest here on the Bronx Beat, and I look forward to having you on again.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Well, we'll wrap things up here. We appreciate you all for tuning in. Like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. Make sure to follow Chris at Chris Kirshner on Twitter, and for Gary, follow him at Gary H. Phillips. It'll also be on the overlay, so for people like myself who can't spell very well, it'll be there. We appreciate you all for tuning in. Like, subscribe, turn on that notification bell, download on Apple or Spotify for listening through there, and leave a 5-star rating. We appreciate your support, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody.
Perfect.